There's two statements in the New Testament that describe your salvation. And today we want to discuss those two statements. One is you're adopted as sons, and the other is you're born again. And because of these two statements, it can be confusing to what really is the process of salvation. Am I adopted or am I born of God? They're really two different paths. I know that in adoption, I have two sisters who were adopted, and they're my sisters. There's no difference between my love for them and my family tied to them, to my natural birth sister who's got the same mom and same dad. My adopted sisters are fully my sisters as well. And so I understand that adoption means that you can become part of the family. But they carried, my two older sisters carried their DNA and their mom and dad's DNA into our family. And so that is kind of the imagery of adoption, is that you've been accepted by another family and become family with them, but you have not really changed, just your name changed and your family changed, but you haven't changed. And that's the wrong imagery when we hear the words of born again. Let me read to you a verse here out of John 3. You know these verses. But Nicodemus here, we'll just read verse 1, that there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So this is where we get our terminology, born again. Well, Nicodemus had a question, and he said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" So I want you to see that when Jesus said born again, he meant born, like a child born from nothing to be born. And that's why it was confusing to Nicodemus, because he says you must be born again. And Nicodemus said, "Well, I am confused. Can a man enter his mother's womb again?" And so that's why in our culture, it can be confusing. And we kind of have settled, I think, as a church, the idea that we're born again, but we're adopted. And I really want to address that today to help show you in the Word that you are born of God. You're not adopted. And the imagery of adoption, we're going to look at the wording where it comes up in Scripture when he says you're adopted as sons and what he really means in that. Because the imagery can be that I was in the family of Adam and I just signed up for Christianity. And now my name is child of God, but nothing really has changed in me. I've just been adopted into the family. That is not the same as being born again. So being born again means you're born of God. So that's my question for you, and the question we want to answer, am I just signed my name over to God, or am I actually birthed of God? And we'll read here some more here. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So now you can see here, he starts to give an answer. He's got to be born of water and born of Spirit. So Jesus is given the definition of being born again, that your first birth of Adam, of the family of Adam, is where you're born of water. That's when a woman's water breaks, when Christy, on her birthday, woke up in the morning and said, "My water broke," and she gave birth to our son Harrison on her birthday. And I announced her, I said, "You can't ever say, I didn't give you something for your birthday. I gave you a son on your birthday." Her water broke. So that's what Jesus is referring, that first, unless one is born of water first, that means that God does not create people. God does not create little spirits in heaven. He doesn't create people. To be of the children of God, to be saved, you must first be found in the family of Adam. You must be born by the will of two people, a mom and a dad, born that way. That's your first birth. That brought you into existence. When you were conceived in your mother's womb, that brought you into existence. So Jesus clarifies to Nicodemus and says, look, your first birth is in your mother's womb of water. But the be born of God isn't of the natural realm. It is born of the Spirit. You are spiritually born again. And that's why he says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. So now he's emphasizing that being born again is not a natural process. It's a spiritual process. Now, I say spiritual, don't think of angels flying around or the spiritual realm. The spiritual is very practical. Your spiritual nature, you receive the new nature. Unless you receive that new nature, you cannot be of the kingdom of God. So Jesus is saying it's not going into your mother's womb to be born again, but you are actually born again. Let's go to another famous verse over here in 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5. See if I can find it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll start in verse 17. We'll just read verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we know that when you are born again, you become a new creation. You are created new. Well, that's puzzling because I thought we were first born of the mother's womb, of the water, and then of the Spirit when I got born again. I remember everything or many things before the day I asked Jesus in my heart. I didn't forget all those things. So am I a new creation? What is it? And that's the process we're learning. That's the process we're talking about in transformation, that you were found and you found God when you were of the family of Adam. But God, in the miracle of salvation, found a legal way for you to be born again into his family. Not just signing the name over, like in the world when someone is adopted, the parents go and they pick up the little baby and they legally change the name on the paperwork that baby is now mine. We adopt them into the family. But nothing really changed in that child. There's some parents who adopted babies without knowing the parents. That was part of the rule. Part of the deal was you can adopt a baby, but you never get to know who the parent is. And so 20, 30 years later, the adopted child starts to maybe have a health problem. And so they go back to try to get permission to find out who the parents were so they can find out in the DNA what health issues did my birth dad have. So I can tell the doctor what my birth parents' health issues were. Because on the paperwork, you have to fill out what were some of the family problems in your family DNA. Well, they don't want your adopted parents' DNA because it's not in you. That's how adoption works in the natural world. That's not how it works in the spiritual realm. That's not how you were born again. You didn't just get a new name. The miracle of the rebirth, the new birth, the miracle of being born again was God. You had to come into existence from the family of Adam. God does not make people. So then when you accepted Jesus in your heart, God put his hand around you. And I know we have in our saying that I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I have a body. And I live in a body, but that's not technically complete. You have a spirit. You're not a spirit. You are special. You are in existence, the very treasure of God. And God put his hand around you. One of the words is soul, not mind, will, and emotions, but your life source, you. And he found a way to change, replace everything around you. You received a new nature from an old nature. So now you have a new spirit, new nature. He brought to life your inner body from one of darkness to light. and eventually you're going to receive a new outward body. So he will replace everything around you. But the miracle is he didn't get rid of you. You stayed there. You live for eternity. Once a child is conceived, they exist forever. There's no distinguishing or extinguishing that life. There's no putting that life out. That life lives forever. And this is why God is passionate about salvation. Because every child conceived now is going to exist forever. That's why when he breathed into Adam, he gave Adam the power of a seed to reproduce. And then Adam's reproduced. The whole world's been reproducing from that one breath of God. Little creatures conceived that are going to grow up and exist forever for eternity. And God is passionate about trying to rescue each of them, each of us, as many as he can, to be born out of the family of Adam and born into the family of God. Because the family of Adam is born into darkness, is born into death. They're already destined for hell. And God's trying to rescue all of us out of that family into his family, which started at the when Jesus was glorified, the firstborn of many brethren, that you are now born again. So I want to address the imagery of adoption versus born again, because you are adopted in the sense that the process is similar to adoption, that he found you already alive. He found you in existence. He found you birthed the first time of water. But after that, there's no similarity between God's adoption into his family versus the world natural process of adoption. Because the natural process of adoption is just a change of name. Yes, you change families, but you still have the DNA of your birth parents. And you are adopted into a family that accepts you and loves you, hopefully, and treats you as their own child. But you don't look like your mom or your dad necessarily because they did not birth you. But you were found in the family of Adam, a dark, dead, sinful species. And when you accepted Christ, your transformation process started to where you were adopted is an okay word. We're going to get into that. But really, he took you and rebirthed you, birthed you again as his child. So you now are of God. You have the very nature of God. You have his righteousness in you. Let me give you another verse I like to use. We've talked about it many times in the Transformation series. Let me just shoot it at you real quick here. And I'm going to read over in Ephesians. Let's see here. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24. And he says, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That's your inner man. So your inner man was created in God in true righteousness and holiness. That is not a passover from the natural man. So much of our Christian talk is under the idea of adoption. Even when it comes to the natural mind, will, and emotions, we call that the soul, that we have an idea that I have a soul, so my job as a Christian is now to educate my natural mind to understand the things of God and my natural emotions to accept and love like God. But those are of a different species. They're of that species of Adam. This natural body you've been left with hasn't been glorified yet, so you're still stuck with it, and it contains the natural mind, natural emotions. And it is of this earth. It'll never understand the things of God. We're not trying to retrain our natural soul. We're actually trying to mortify the natural soul because it has not been redeemed yet, not until the trumpet sounds. So we're not trying to, when you read the Bible, you're really not trying to educate your natural intellect to accept the truth because it can't. It's not of the same species of God. But your inner man is. Your inner man has been created in righteousness and holiness. So when you read your Bible, your spiritual man, which is of the nature of God, which is of God, which has been quickened to be of God, That's different than adoption. Adoption gives the impression that I take what I have been born with and I now just change my name. Being born again means that, no, you've been born again. Every part of you will be replaced with light and righteousness, and your inner man, your outward man, your mind, will, and emotions, eventually all of you in your nature has all been changed and quickened from darkness to light, but you're still there. You are the part that has been adopted into God, but everything about you is born again. And that's why it was puzzling for Nicodemus to try to understand, how does this work? Because do I disappear? It's like I say, God found you in the worm family, because in the Old Testament, you can read scripture that says, I am a worm, and I'm but a worm to God. Well, God found you in the worm family, and the miracle of salvation is he found Alan in the worm family. I am of the family of worms, and he birthed me into his family, we'll say a family of eagles, a different species. Well, he didn't just say, hey, how do you spell your name? Is that one L or two L's? Is there an E in there? No, my name is spelled A-L-A-N. Hold on, let me write that down, God says. All right, little worm, A-L-A-N, wonderful. Okay, I have this egg over here that's an E. There's a little eagle egg here, and I'm going to write your name on this egg, and then that's going to be you as my child. And then he squishes me and I disappear, and he just gave my name to an eagle. Well, no, the miracle of salvation is he found you in the worm family and took you out and protected you. That's the you that he is passionate about. That's the apple of his eye, not your personality, not your likes or dislikes, not your talent, but you, the essence of you. And he protected you, and he brought you and put you inside of an eagle, inside of a chick. And now you are still there. You have not stopped existing, but you are of a different species. That's the miracle of the rebirth. So let's look at some of the words for adoption. We're going to hopefully answer the question. And the question I want to tackle and the part I want to accomplish today is the imagery of being born again versus the imagery of adoption. They're two different images. The image of being born again can be that I'm a new creation, like a new child being born. I was there when my son was born. I remember. I was there when my daughter took her first breath. I remember. But when someone is adopted, you're not there at their birth. And so the two procedures, being born and taking your first breath versus being adopted and signed over to a family. Well, you are adopted, but you're also born of God. And really, the best way to see it is that you are born of God. You received his nature, you received his new inner man, and you will receive a new outward man. But your battle is with that outward man, because the outward man belongs to the old man, the old person that was born of Adam. You're not born of Adam anymore, you're born of God. You are a child of God. So let's start over in, let's do Galatians chapter 4. We'll shoot with that one first. Galatians 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ from a slave, though he is a master of all, but is under guardianship and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that they might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. So this is the language we're going to see in a few of the books that Paul wrote. He uses the word adoption. So when you see the word adoption, I don't want you to think of a traditional adoption, because that's not what it means. It doesn't mean that you were just signed over to God. It's talking about a process. And whenever you see adoption, you usually see adoption as sons. Well, that's actually one word in the Greek. It's two Greek words squished together to mean one word. So in my Bible, in the English, it says adoption as sons. So it can imply that I have been adopted and God found me in the Taylor family and he took my last name and gave me his last name. But I'm still all the same kind of person trying to please God. That is not the right imagery. That's not the truth. The adoption of sons, when you see it, verse 5, to redeem those who are under the law that we might receive the adoption as sons. He's talking about God's plan. And the words adoption as sons in English is really one word in the Greek compiled by two words placed together. And those two words mean a son, like Adam is a son. So a birthing, a first son of me. This is my son. If you look at my daughter, you will see that that's Alan's kid. When you see my son and my pictures of when I was a kid, you'll say, look at my son and say, that son, that boy looks just like Alan did when he was 16 and 17 years old. And so they are, you can tell that my DNA is in them because they look like me. Okay? So that's what it means by sons here. Adoption as sons is one word. So one of the word for that is the word son, which is the birthing, the birth of someone from your DNA. So when it says adoption of sons, he's not just saying, I'm going to call you my son. You once were not my son. You are of a different species, but I'm going to call you my son. And see, when we as Christians, when we just accept that, I've just changed my name. It can be as foolish as saying, yeah, I no longer go to the bar, I go to the church. It's like I signed up for a gym, a new gym. I put my name down. The problem I have with that imagery of adoption is you can get stuck thinking that I have just got God's name, not that I have received everything new about me, because you have his new nature. You have the inner man brought to life that has been created in righteousness and holiness, in true righteousness and holiness. And you are still there, but you're still wearing the outward body of the old man. So that's why you can say to your body, you're no longer of me. I have to deal with you and I have to mortify you and deny you and tell you what to do, but you're no longer me. You're going to fall off of me one day, or at the sound of the trumpet be replaced with a new glorified body. Because otherwise, the adoption of a human into the children of God would be like me taking my pet dog, and excuse the analogy, but it's very similar. That's why the Jews called the Gentiles dogs, because that's how different God is to man, to mankind, that there are different species. And I love my dog. My dog loves me. And we can, for fun, call them our children and treat them like our children, but they're never going to be your child. Never, because they're not the same species. You can treat them like your child, love them like a child, but they're not going to take care of you when you're old and go make you meals and help support you. They can't. They're pets. They'll love you. And we all love our pets, hopefully. Hopefully you love a pet. But they're not technically your children. They can never technically be your children. But when you see adoption, it's important you understand you are not adopted of God. Yes, you are, but you're not. You are born of God. The part of you that is adopted is you. And the you is the essence of life, the part of you that he's trying passionately to rescue from hell. And then, but with you, every part of you is born of God. First your new nature, then your inner man, and at the sound of the trumpet, the outward body is born of God, completely of God. What an amazing miracle salvation is. You start in one species, and then God rebuilds everything around you that at the sound of the trumpet, you are now standing on a new earth with a new universe, a new heaven, and completely light. Nothing of this earth, nothing of Adam, nothing of your earthly family is left a part of you because you've been fully transformed. The job of the church today is to transform, grow in the inner man, and mortify the outward body. And you're in this, hopefully you're learning the reason why we need to pray, the reason why we need to fast, the reason we need to worship God and meditate the Word is to grow up the inner man to help us to mortify the outward man. So when he says here, the adoption of sons, that's one word made of two Greek words squished together. Sons means first birth, born of me. Okay, so it's not talking about I'm adopting you and I'm calling you my son. It is actually I'm birthing you as my son. Adoption means to be put in place. So the adoption talks about here the process, but that's all it is. It's a process that God had to do because he could not birth you the first time. He had to find you born of a woman first, born of water. So he's not trying to reborn you by having you go back into your mother's womb. He's rebirthing you by rebuilding everything around you, your nature, your inner man, and eventually your outward man. The inner man contains your spiritual part of your soul, mind, emotions, and desires. The outward body contains the natural part of your soul, mind, emotions, and desires. And so many Christians are simply trying to serve God out of their natural man, trying to make it fit into God's, conform it into God's image. But it can't because it's not of God. It's still of this world. You've been left with the body of the natural man. So you can't teach it to serve God. You can't teach it to know God. You have to make it bow its knee to the truth that you can teach your inner man the truth of God. You can teach your inner man the love of God. You can grow in the love of God, grow in the knowledge of God in your inner man. And the job with the outward body is to mortify it, not to teach it, not to make it love, to mortify it. When you understand transformation, it tells you that much of the modern church is really just acting like Old Testament saints, unsaved, serving God. Many people are going to heaven and are going to serve God through their natural man, but never experienced true transformation on this earth. And what a shame that is. The enemy has done an incredible job of distracting the church from transformation. It's really the lost art, the lost message of the church world, that we should transform our life today before we get to heaven, before the trumpet sounds. I have the ability to grow in the knowledge of God, to grow the fruit of love, joy, and peace from my inner man or from my new nature into my inner man. And at the same time, I mortify the thoughts and emotions of my outward man. I can do that today in this world before the sound of the trumpet. Most Christians won't realize until they get to heaven that they really just served God in their outward body. They just signed over their name from the bar to the church, but they never really transformed into all that God had for them. And what a shame that is. So when we see adoption as sons, I want you to see, understand it's one word with two Greek words crammed together. A birthing of a true son, birthed of God and set in place. So God took you, not your personality, not your talent, not your emotions, took you. You are the essence that God is you. That's the essence of what God is passionately trying to rescue. And he has found a way to take you, the essence of you, the soul of you, not soul, mind, will, and emotions, but you. And he's put his hand around you, protected you, and rebuilt you in a new person. It's amazing, the rebirth. Being born again is an amazing, amazing miracle. It's not adoption, but there is a process of adoption because he had to find you in one family and rebirth you in the spirit. Your inner man first is born again by the new nature, and then eventually your outward man will be glorified as well. Let's look at another word here in Ephesians chapter 1. We'll start in verse 3. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Having predestined, oh, this will be so, such a fun verse to break down today. Verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So what a fun verse for us to tackle. Let's start with the one trigger word, predestined. Some have assumed that means that God pre-designed for you to be saved, but not for your neighbor. So it was by predestination. God's already chose who gets saved and who doesn't. Well, that's not what this means. Predestined means he pre-designed a plan for rescuing us out of the family of Adam and birthing us into the family of God. That's simply what it means. That he had always planned for this. The moment Adam sinned, he had the plan already made to rescue anyone who was willing to accept Jesus. And so having pre-designed for a pathway for us to be adopted, us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. So this is really talking about the miracle of the new birth that Jesus quoted in Jesus. We quoted Jesus in John. Let me go back there. This is what Jesus is explaining. I'm trying to find John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John chapter 3. This is the adoption of sons. That word is one word in the Greek, is describing what Jesus said in John 3 when he said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." That is summed up in Paul saying, adoption of sons. That one word with two Greek words means a real son, birth of someone, set in place. So he took you out of Adam's family, you, and he birthed you as his child without extinguishing you. That's the miracle of salvation. You are not a spirit. You have a spirit. You are an essence of life. You are from the breath of God. You exist forever. That's why he's able to rebuild everything around you while you're still there. He didn't extinguish you, put your light out, psh, you're gone. He kept you and saved you. And that's the salvation of the soul. He's trying to rescue you. So here in Ephesians, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. So through Jesus, he found you in the family of Adam, and he rebirthed you, a new birth, made you a new creation. You are a new creation. It was through a process of adoption, but you are a new creation. He had to find you first born of a woman, born of water, and then he birthed you into his family through the Spirit. Again, the Spirit is not clouds and spiritual experiences. It's practical. He started with your nature, and then he rebirthed your inner man. He quickened it, brought it to life, and eventually he'll rebirth your outward body. And that's when the adoption is complete. And we'll read about that over in Romans chapter 8. And you knew I was going to go back to Romans 8. So I don't know why you're surprised that we're going back to Romans 8. But Romans 8, we read about the wording adoption. And I don't want you thinking that you are adopted of God like the traditional natural sense that God found you in the family of Adam and then just gave you his name. No. Adoption of sons is a word that describes what we read in John chapter 3, that you're born of water and then you're born of spirit. Your first birth came from your natural family. And you were in the womb for 9 months, and the water broke, and you came out. You came into existence at your conception, and then you were going to live for eternity, exist for eternity. And hopefully everyone who's born, prayerfully, as many people as possible get born again, and they live for eternity with God and not in hell. But you exist forever. No one since Adam who's come from Adam, has stopped existing. They're all in existence somewhere. heaven or hell or on this earth. Romans chapter 8. Let's see here. Let's start in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Talking about being born again. For you did not receive the spirit of a bondage. So here he mentions the spirit of bondage. This is talking about the nature of sin, the nature of Adam that you were born with the first time. So here he says, when you got born again, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. So you did not receive the same spirit of bondage. He's talking about you received a new spirit. You became a new creation, a new creature. This is the miracle of salvation. All Romans 8 is talking about the whole picture of salvation. So when you were born again, you did not receive the nature of sin again. It's something better, something new. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So he's comparing here the old nature of sin versus the new nature of righteousness. The old nature of darkness that you received from your mother's womb versus the new nature of light that you received at your rebirthing of the Spirit. The spirit of adoption is a son born and you being placed. It has a picture of you being placed into a new species. So it's like taking a creature from one species out and putting that person in a new species. It's the miracle of salvation. So when it says a spirit of adoption, he's comparing it to the nature of sin versus the new nature. We'll keep reading here because this will all hopefully help you answer questions in Romans 8. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So he is your father. You are born of God. You no longer have the nature of your first family. Our kids are both born again. Technically, legally, in the eyes of God, they're not my children anymore. They're his children. Harrison, who is my birth son, I birthed him, or my wife did, but I helped, and I helped create him. He is got my body. The body DNA that he got for me is still on him, but everything else about him, his nature, his inner man, is now born of God. He is a child of God. God is his father. God is my father. Me and Harrison are brothers in the Lord. Now, don't tell him that until he's 25, so he won't override me. But he is actually my brother. Ava is actually my sister because we both have the same father. We've both been born again of God. That's why we can cry out, Abba, Father. It's not just a name. He's really your father. You really have been born of God. The Spirit himself, that's the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit. That's the new nature. So the Holy Spirit bears witness with your new nature that we are children of God. So this is not just a name. You are actually born of God. And if children, then heirs. So what gives you a right to receive from God? You can't earn anything from God. You have to receive it by what Jesus paid for. You are more than a conqueror. Jesus paid the price. You receive by the work that he did, not by your works. And if Christ, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. We've talked about this before. Now he goes into discussing the suffering of the leftover body that you're wearing. He did not replace the outward man, the outward body. The outward body is your fingers and toes, yes, but also the natural mind and emotions and desires of the natural part of your soul. And that is why there is suffering. He's not talking about sickness or disease. He's simply talking about the battle every day to not accept your outward man and the desires and thoughts of the outward man as who you are anymore. So when he uses the word adoption, it's not like the world uses it. It's not that you just received his name. It's that he took you in a process of adoption, you out of the family of Adam, and put you into the children of God, gave you his nature, birthed you with a new nature, brought to life your inner man, but has left you wearing the outward body of your first birth. Verse 18, for I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Again, talking about the whole redemption of the human race, of the earth, of the universe. It's all going to come back into the children of God. It's all going to be rebirthed as new, from old to new, from death to life. The whole earth, the universe will be quickened, and we'll have a new earth in a new universe. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. What this is saying here, we're eagerly waiting for the adoption. The finishing process of the adoption is what this means here. Not so much we're waiting to be adopted. We're waiting for that process to be fully finished. And that's when we receive a new glorified body. The redemption of our body. That the adoption is complete. The process is complete. When I'm standing on the new earth with the new universe, and I look and my outward body is of light. My inner body is of light. All my mind, emotions are together. I'm one of light. I have a new nature of light. And here I am, started out in a species of darkness, a species of sin. That's where I started out. That's where I was born. And here at the sound of the trumpet, I'm standing at the end of the adoption process. And I am a new creature. I am fully light. How different is God from the human race? How different is Jesus from mankind? As different and distant as darkness is from light. How distant is the love of God versus the love of a good earthly mom? As different as darkness is light. That's how different you're going to be at the sound of the trumpet. Completely finished. The adoption will be finished when you receive that new glorified body. So you are in an adoption process, but you're not adopted. You're born. That's probably the best way to say it. You are in an adoption process that is finished when you receive the glorified body, but you're not adopted. You're born of God. You are a new creation. So that's what we're learning with transformation in this series, that I'm still wearing the body, the natural mind, the natural emotions of the old Alan, which came from this earth, came from my earthly parents. But I am a new creation wearing this body. And so I don't have to wait for heaven. I don't have to wait until the trumpet sounds. I can now go with the help of the Holy Spirit and begin to transform now by rebuilding the knowledge of my spiritual man with the knowledge of God, building up the knowledge of God inside of my inner man. And I can also grow the love of Jesus in me, grow the peace of Jesus in me from the new nature into my inner man. And then from there, I mortify the thoughts and desires and emotions of the natural man. So even though I'm still wearing this leftover body, I'm not limited until the trumpet sounds. I can now go through this process. This is the art of transformation. So much of the church, the modern church, is simply serving God through their outward man. And they don't realize it. Their emotions are trying to love their neighbor, but really, God wants to mortify that love and grow the love of Christ in them. This is the power of transformation. You are in an adoption process, but you're not adopted. You're born of Him. Let's act like it. Let's keep transforming. Let's keep praying. Let's keep building up that inner man and mortify the outward body until the glorified moment, the glorious moment the trumpet sounds. And one day, for the rest of eternity, do you understand? No more sorrow, no more suffering with the desires of the natural man. No more fighting loneliness, fighting sin, desires, fighting pride. None of that, because you will be completely brought back together whole, body, soul, and spirit, complete in God. Right now, you're left with the body that you're suffering against. But you can act like it and grow up in the things of God. Nothing is impossible. There's nothing you and I cannot overcome on this path of transformation. Thank you for spending time with me. I love you and appreciate you, and I'll see you soon.